Today. Today we talk about growing a godly Christian family, investing in your children's faith. It's real important that we grasp that and actually put it into practice. The Puritans had this saying that every home is a little church. That your home that you're raising your children is actually the primary source of their faith. Now, a lot of people believe, no, it's the church that's the primary source. No. It's your home is the primary source of where children are to learn about faith. Learn about God, learn to know Him, learn to love Him, and learn to follow Him. It really comes back to what are we practicing, parents? What are we giving them to show them the way of how to live a godly Christian life? It comes back to us. That's a heavy responsibility because somewhere during the ages, parents have shucked it off onto the church. Well, the church is really the secondary, the supplement to help you along in that journey of teaching your children about the Lord. You know 95% of the criminals who incarcerated did not come from a home that practiced a godly lifestyle or practiced a consistent walk with the Lord. These people who were incarcerated really never had a consistent teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes me think, what are our homes doing today? Or are we consistent in the way that we approach teaching our children about the Lord? Or are we just kind of haphazard? We just kind of, well, we know it's Mother's Day or it's Christmas or it's Easter or some other special occasion, so we're going to show up to church. Listen, honestly, we're teaching kids, that's just not good enough. The reason we send our kids to school every day is so that they can get an education. If we just send them on Mondays throughout the year, then they probably wouldn't get very much. We teach them how to brush their teeth. We teach them good hygiene. You know, we try to teach them some financial responsibility. We teach them how to be responsible people around the house and how to respect others. We teach them all these important things. But let's not forget the most important, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that will get them out of this world into a better place. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 19, verse 13 through 15. Every home, a little church. I like that old saying by the Puritans. Think about it. What we invest in our children is really the legacy that they carry on long after we're gone. It's said that you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in one little seed. What we invest into our children will go on from generation to generation to generation, and how many lives they will touch simply because you as a parent, as a mom, as a dad, took the advantage while your children are at home to teach them about the love of Christ. Robert Schuller said this, "Faith is no irresponsible shot in the dark. It is a responsible trust in God who knows the desires of your hearts, the dreams that you are given, and the goals you have set. He will guide your paths right." Matthew 19, verse 13 through 15. We read an account where Jesus encountered some little children. And Jesus was out teaching. It says, "And the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked him. And Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' And when he had placed his hands on them, he went away on from there." Let's pray together. Father God, today, teach us, Lord. Teach us how important it is that we bring our children to you. Lord, teach us today how much you love those little treasures you've entrusted to our care. Lord, I pray that you help us to be better parents, to be better grandparents. Lord, let us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, be ones who set examples so we can mentor our children. And Lord, that we would get up on Sundays and Wednesdays and Lord, be adamant about bringing our children to church, to let them know and to let them understand more about you. Help us grow in our own walk so that our children may follow suit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this teaching that Jesus is doing is across the Jordan River in Judea. Now he's been teaching for a little while and probably growing a little weary, and the disciples were there helping him in some way. But as he was teaching, there were parents who were bringing their children and wanted Jesus just to lay hands, just to touch them, just to say a word to them. They were so excited to be with Jesus. Them bad old disciples, kind of like the deacons in a Baptist church sometimes, you know. No deacons laughed about that. You know. But they really had Jesus' best interest in mind, and so they didn't want to wear him out because they knew he was getting tired. So they had his best interest in mind. So they were kind of just keeping the people back. Oh, no, don't bother Jesus right now. Not right now. Well, not while he's teaching. And Jesus rebuked them and said, wait a minute, guys. Let the children come on. Ah, see, Jesus knew because of that simple faith that they had. That's how we all need to turn to Christ, in simple faith. We learn some great lessons in this little, small account, these few verses that we as parents can really begin to apply into our own home life. The first lesson is this, is that the parents demonstrated an active faith by bringing their children to Jesus. Think about it. They demonstrated an active faith. There are a lot of people who say, well, I have faith. I know who God is. I know who Jesus is. But if you look at their life, they're not practicing an active faith at all. Listen, faith is not just something that you have, it's something that you do. You can say you have faith all day long, but you won't prove it by if your actions do not follow, if your actions do not back it up. Your actions prove your faith. Verse 13, some people brought their children to Jesus. See, these parents were excited about Jesus being in the area. They wanted their children to meet this wonderful rabbi. They were all concerned. They were concerned about their faith and the future of their children, much like we are. They did not allow the commitments of life to interfere with their overwhelming importance of introducing their children to Christ. Think about that. How many times do we put other things in priority over Christ? How many times do we put other things on Sunday mornings in priority over being faithful and showing our children this is the way we gather with the church to worship? Sometimes we put ball. Sometimes we put sports and recreation. Sometimes we put shopping. Sometimes we even put family get-togethers above gathering with God's people for corporate worship. These parents were committed, first of all, to the teaching, the virtue of faith to their children. It was a way of life for these parents rather than a haphazard attendance policy. See, parents, I encourage you to commit fully to teach your children about the love and the grace and the expectations that Jesus has on our life. Either we teach our kids or somebody else will. And they're not always going to learn the right way. Demonstrate your faith by bringing them to worship and being an active member with them in church activities and ministries. On Wednesday nights, there are a lot of people who come up, drop their kids off, and take off to Walmart, to wherever. Be an active part. Be an active. Pastor Brando, he does not mind if you go out in the youth building and hang out with your students. Now, your student might mind, but we do not. Be a part of what they're doing. Listen, Jesse would love to have help on Wednesday nights. Be available. Just volunteer. Hey, how can I help you? Listen, I have a class here on Wednesday nights. I'm always open for more people who want to gain knowledge about the Bible and understanding. We're here for you to supplement what you do for your children. Your children's faith in Jesus is top priority above all other important obligations. What we learn in this brief story by these parents' example is that they seize the opportunity to present their children to Jesus and have him bless them. See, we have worship on Sunday mornings, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Two wonderful opportunities to be here to worship and learn about God. We also have connection groups at 9 o'clock in between the two services. So why? So we can learn and grow more about, know more about Jesus. Wednesday nights we're here at 6 o'clock. Why? So we can take the opportunity to learn more about Jesus. Seize the opportunity. Parents, seize that opportunity to bring your children to Jesus. A great first step is to bring them to church where they see others who, like you, are worshiping. It's great when students and when teenagers and children see adults worshiping. They see what it's really like in big church to see adults who love Jesus Christ and don't mind expressing it, fathers. Saddens my heart, so many fathers will stay at home and do other things and send the children and their mother to church. Oh, that's a lot to answer to Jesus for one day. See, as parents, we will go to great lengths to provide as quality education for our children and maintain good health and keep them safe and help them become productive citizens. Yet sometimes we can become apathetic on our investment in their foundations of faith. We allow the cares of life to consume our time and our attention, causing our children really to be deprived of opportunity to grow in their faith, and maybe even neglecting the vital step of teaching our children to accept Jesus as Savior. So many times, parents, you're there at home at night and you're reading or you're praying with your children. That's the time they accept Christ as Savior with you. So, Brother Kevin, I don't know how to do that. Just go in God's Word and read. Romans 3, 23. Romans 6, 23. Romans 10, verse 9 through 13. Listen, it's very easy in simple faith, childlike faith, to accept Christ as Savior. Are you taking advantage of the opportunities here at this church to grow your children when they need to be? Listen, we have a wonderful children's minister, Jesse DeVille. We have a lot of activities for our children to go. Not only on Sunday mornings, we have connection groups or Sunday school classes for them. We have a nursery for the little bitty ones. We have Sunday mornings children's church. And during the week, we have RAs and GAs and mission friends and all sorts of things. When Bible drill comes up, we have Bible drills. And Easter comes around, they have Easter musicals that they do. Children are involved all sorts of ways. They also have MJAM camp and these other summer camps they do. Then they do Christmas and Easter and usually back to school in the fall festival. There's all sorts of things for your children to be involved in. Oh, and we have a cutting-edge youth ministry also, where our students are challenged to grow and connect with God in new ways, in greater ways. Here on Sunday morning, we have connection groups. On Wednesday nights, we have Refuel. Listen, we have special events throughout the calendar, ministry mission opportunities and service days and summer camps and winter camp in Branson, all sorts of things. I think this year the students are going to Colorado for a camp. Getting them out of Evangeline Parish, getting them out of Louisiana to see there's a big old world that needs Jesus. Our student minister challenges them to grow in leadership and mature in young men and young women. Last week, you had an opportunity to see the youth band and Pastor Brian lead worship. What a beautiful sight. Parents, seize the moment for your children. Teach your children about Jesus and demonstrate your own faith through doing it. Your act of faith will be noticed. What is your faith level? What strength of faith are your children seeing in you? See, children are very perceptive. After 10 years of being in education and youth pastor, listen, what children see, what students and teenagers see, is what they begin to replicate. So we can say a whole lot of things with our mouth, but we are much better mentors because they pick up what they see rather than what they hear. Students will pick up what they see more than what they hear. If they see us living a godly life, if they see us seizing the opportunities, they see the faith in us being real, then they are likely to pick that up much more than if we just preach it to them. Let your children see Jesus in you. J.C. Ryle said this, as fathers and mothers, do not forget that children learn more by the eye than they do by the ear. Imitation is a far better principle, stronger principle with children than memory. What they see has a much stronger effect on the minds than what they are told. The second lesson is this. Bring your children to Jesus to help them establish values and morals and character. So not only are we preparing them to accept Christ and spend eternity in heaven with them, we're also teaching there's some pretty good principles about being a Christian. There's a godly lifestyle that we can live. And listen, it's not boring. It's very exciting. It builds a lot of courage and peace and strength and fortitude in life. Helps us make wise decisions in sometimes a not-so-wise world. See, this really calls for parents to spend time with their children to model Christian values and beliefs. A survey for Common Sense Media found that parents of tweens, that's before teenagers, and teens spend about 9 hours a day on average in front of screens. That's TVs, phones, computers, iPads, tablets. More than 80% of that time was for pleasure, not work, with parents watching TV and playing video games, social networking, browsing websites, etc. 9 hours a day. Psychology Today reports that parents spend about 50 minutes per day on Facebook and a whopping 5 hours each day looking at their smartphones. It's quiet. Sometimes we get involved in social media, or we're looking and we're shopping and doing this online, doing that online. We don't realize how much time goes by. Has that ever caught you? It catches me like that. It's like, wow, 30 minutes have gone by. Media use can also distract you from your kids, which can impede the quality of their interactions. In a study, researchers began to look at how it affects children, you know, mothers on their phones and stuff. So what they did was set up a test. So they would have mothers interacting with their toddlers, with their infants, and then they would call them and keep them on the phone for 2 minutes, and they would watch them in a room, see what's happening. So when they're interacting with their children and playing games with their children, and the phone would ring, and the mother would pick it up, and they would keep them on the phone for about 2 minutes, and they would watch the child. The child, for 2 minutes, stops playing with whatever he's doing, and now begins to try to get his mother's attention back for 2 whole minutes. And when they would finally hang up, the mother put the phone down. The interaction was never the same. The child would never begin to pick up the toys and play like they were before. They would never kind of research and play in the room and just discover. Their attention was so much on their mother, they were afraid they were going to lose their mother's attention again, that it distorted what the child was doing. They even did another study where a mother had to teach their child 2 words. And they would call and interrupt the conversation again, the playtime, for 2 minutes. In the time that they studied, that child never learned those 2 words. They could only learn one. Because the child's mind was so busy and so fearful trying to get mother's attention back. When I read that, boy, did it hit home. How many times are we playing on our phones, we're looking at this, we're looking at that, we're shopping, we're doing whatever, and our child really needs our attention. Matter of fact, we were interacting with them when the phone rang or a text message came through, and we've lost the time.
You know, cell phones can be great use for, especially for young mothers, you know, who are kind of new at all this and not sure about what's going on. They need their friends' encouragement. They need advice from this or that or from their mother. But there's also time that it has to be put down. And just some face-to-face time. See, it's important to have that real-time face time with our children where it's technology-free. Parents, we make the difference in our children's life. Bring them to Jesus. Bringing them to Jesus. Teach them the values and the beliefs they need to guide them in this world. If you do not teach your kids, someone else will, good or bad. Chuck Swindoll said this. He says, whatever else may be said about the home, it is the bottom line of life, the anvil upon which attributes and convictions are hammered out. It is a place where life's bills come due, the single most influential force in our earthly existence is the home. Your home and my home for our children. The third lesson is this. That Jesus loves your children and will bless them as you invest in their faith. You're investing in their future. When you invest in a child's faith, you're really investing in their future. Much like you're investing in their education so that one day they can go out and be whatever they can dream up of being. They need that foundation. We as parents give them that foundation of faith. Verse 14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. See, Jesus does not turn children away. Their simple faith and innocent openness to trust him brings joy to the Savior. Luke 18, verse 17 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That simple, pure faith. Boy, we can learn a lot from our own kids. But seeing that simple, pure faith. You remember this little song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. How many homes is that being sung in today? Or you remember this old hymn, I love you, you love me. We're best friends like friends should be, with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? That wasn't a good Baptist hymn. That was Barney's song. But how many children know Barney's song, but they don't know Jesus loves me? In this passage, Jesus joyfully received these little children. He sat with them and made them feel special and important. And I imagine Jesus entertained all those 1,001 questions, those curiosities and the innocence that they had. Children can ask some of the most simple but bizarre questions that will stump parents. So we make up stuff, you know, like good parents do. As best we can. I'm sure Jesus was pretty entertained with these questions because he had the right answers, even though we may not. We also see that we too should bless our children and pray for them. Just as Jesus will bless our children, we too should bless them. When parental influence falls short, the Holy Spirit reaches beyond our control and influence as we pray for our children. We are blessing them when we pray for them. The needs of our children render them fragile and susceptible to many negative influences in society. And they need our prayers each day. What can we pray for? Listen, we can pray for a growing independent faith and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you praying for your children to be saved? Are you praying for them to have that personal relationship with Christ? We can also pray for a strong and healthy mind, body, and spirit. Pray for a sense of destiny according to God's will. They will have dreams, but teach them to dream what God's dreams are for them. Pray for God to help them make wise choices. They'll need many prayers and much direction to give them the foundation so they'll make wise choices. Will they always get it right? Well, no, because we don't always get it right. But give them the foundation. Help them to make wise choices. And the last thing you can do is pray for your child to have a healthy friendship. Parents, get this. For a teenager, friendship with their friends at school or at church ranks higher in relationship than with you. Friends are that important for our teenagers. Now listen, they'll come back around where parents are back on, you know, you'll take priority again, but for a while, from probably seventh grade on up to even maybe freshman in college, friendships have more value than our relationship with parents. Don't be insulted by it. It's just the way it is. Pray for them to have healthy friendships. Verse 15 says, when Jesus had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Here's a few practical things you can do to bless your children. I call it Rev's top 10. Beginning, remember Dave's top 10? Late night show. It's Rev's top 10. From the early morning show. Number 10, trust your children with small and large responsibilities. You bless them when you trust them with responsibilities. Why? Because it helps them grow and mature, and they'll appreciate it on down the line. They will not appreciate it right now, and they will stomp and snort at you. They'll say all kind of things to you. They may get smart mouth with you. That's all right. Give them the responsibility anyway. Number 9, compliment your children. Compliment their work, their smile, their grades, their sports, you know, their manners, whatever. Compliment them. Let them know that you're watching, that you're putting your stamp of approval on that behavior, that action. Number 8, encourage your children to be the best that they can be in whatever they do. Teach them to strive for excellence. Just strive for excellence. Not perfection, just excellence. Number 7, encourage and nurture individualism. Listen, group work is fine, but they also need to learn to be individuals away from you and your overwatching, overseeing eyes, and sometimes overprotective eyes. Encourage them to be individuals. Number 6, give kids freedom to be kids. It's not all work. There's a lot of play in there also. If all we do is work, 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 and teach them to work, 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 we steal their childhood away from them. Just let them be kids. Number 5, help them learn from failure. News, parents, they're going to fail. And sometimes they're going to fail miserably. I was a youth pastor in Pine Prairie. I was asked, you know, try to help this student go through some problems. And the thing I could only give them, how do you work hard to keep them perfect from getting all into trouble and do this and do that? I said, all you do is give them the foundation and get them through it. And hopefully they won't have too many scuffs on the other side. Just get them through it. Get them through their teenage years. Get them through that childhood, those childhood years. And hopefully they won't have too many scratches on the outside. Allow your child to make choices, to learn rewards and consequences. Oh, listen, not everybody gets a trophy. Can I repeat that? In life, in real life, not everybody gets a trophy. Sometimes there's rewards, and sometimes there's consequences. And you're responsible for both. Teach and model godly character and values. Just listen, you can bless your children by being the Christian that God called you to be. You're going to make mistakes too. Just own up to it. If it's a mistake with them, just apologize. Let them see that you're real, that you're a person, that it's okay to make mistakes as long as you own it and as long as you do the right things to make amends. The second thing is this, give them grace when they mess up, a lot of grace. And the first thing is teach them to love Jesus and live out their faith in everyday life. Just teach them how to take this, what they learn in your home, what they learn in church, what they learn in their connection group classes, their Sunday school classes, whatever they learn, teach them how to apply that in real life. Because if they just have knowledge and never put it into wisdom, it does them no good. Teach them how to have that relationship with Christ, but to put it into action. Milton Superstein said this, bringing up a family should be an adventure, not an anxious discipline in which everybody is constantly graded on performance. Teaching our children how to be children and godly children, teaching them how much God really loves them, how Jesus died for their sins and for their failures, is a great start to teaching them to be responsible individuals. And you know what's so neat about teaching them faith is that when they embrace their faith in Christ, is that we spend eternity with them in heaven. It crosses my mind often when I do funerals. How many family circles will be unbroken as compared to how many family circles will have one or two people missing? And when we look at our own selves, parents, what are we doing to make sure that we do everything we can for our children, our grandchildren, to invest in them so that they would respond to Jesus in faith? Are we doing what we can? Or would we sadly say, I blew it. Blew it. Listen, even if we say that we blew it today, it's also a new day. It's also a time that we can get a fresh step and a fresh start. And God says, all right, you've got from now till the rest of your life to get it right. Older day parents, can we get it right? Grandparents, can we get it right? And be the parents that God wants us to be so we can raise children, the next generation, to love Jesus. And we can spend eternity with them in heaven. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you that you've given us great examples of the faith. Lord, even this few small verses speaks volumes to us about how Jesus handled himself with children. And God, as parents, we see oftentimes, we think about so many times that we've fallen short and we didn't get it right. And God, we need your grace this morning. We need your forgiveness, Lord, so that we can be the parents from this day forward that will make a change and make a difference in our children's lives. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your forgiveness and your grace, God. Give us the courage and the strength to teach our children how to love you. In Jesus' name.